You know, today's readings all really come together very well in this time of Advent. And so how does our Lord God talk to each and every one of us this Advent through these sacred scriptures? We'll see something very interesting. And in order to understand these scriptures, we need to actually go back to the Garden of Eden to understand what is transpiring. As with any of the words of Christ, it's always a good idea to go back to the Garden of Eden, because there in the Garden of Eden, we are going to come to understand more deeply what is transpiring, why God took flesh, why he took flesh, what was the reason behind that. And we also come to a deeper understanding of what he is saying to us and what he is calling us to. You know, as we take a look here, what transpired in the Garden of Eden? Disorder, the sin of Adam and Eve. Originally in the Garden of Eden, there was peace, there was harmony. There was harmony. And where do we hear that word harmony? We hear that word harmony in today's book, in the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. It says here, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to think in harmony with one another in keeping with Christ, that with one accord, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So all glory and praise must pass through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's go back to the garden. Let's begin to talk about the garden there. Disharmony entered the garden because of the sin of Adam and Eve. But see, on the return of Christ, harmony takes place, because we hear in Isaiah, which is a prophecy, it states here very beautifully, "Then the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion shall browse together with a little child to guide them. The cow and the bear shall be neighbors, together with their young, together their young shall rest. The lion shall eat hay like the ox, and the baby shall play by the cobra's den." Do you hear the harmony that's there? Well, see, the harmony was there originally in the garden when God created Adam. And God said to Adam, he gave Adam the authority to name the animals. And when one gives a name to the animals, he has authority over the animals. So to name something gives us authority over them. But see, what transpired in the garden there is after Adam and Eve fell, what happened? Disorder entered in. Disharmony entered in. There was a breaking of relationship with God. God, who is the creator. And it is through God that man had his authority over the animals, over nature. It is through Christ that man receives his authority over nature. Because God said to Adam, "Go forth and subdue the world. Go forth and subdue the world." So God has given Adam authority over the world, but the authority only comes to him through God. And so when man ruptured his relationship, what happened? He was evicted from the Garden of Eden. And then what did our Lord God said? Instead of nature submitting to man, man became the servant of nature, because he said, by the sweat of your brow, you will till the earth, you will produce fruit. And then he said to Eve there, "And you will have pain in childbearing." So there was suffering that came in with the fall, with the disorder, with the lack of harmony there. And see, we see that only harmony is found through Jesus Christ, through our Lord God. And it's God who brings about that harmony. Because we see that in the gospel reading today, we see what he says, what John the Baptist, he says. He's bringing about, he says to them, "Prepare, make the way, make his path straight. Make his paths straight," he said. Make his path straight. So putting back into harmony, to prepare ourselves, to bring ourselves back in harmony with our Lord God. And see, apart from Christ, nothing is possible. Apart from Christ, nothing is possible. But see, in today's world, what transpires is that we still try to make things possible. We try to bring about harmony within today's world apart from Christ himself. That is what environmentalism is about today. It's about worshiping the environment, worshiping Mother Earth. We hear now this return of Mother Earth, Mother Nature. It's trying to bring this back. It's trying to subdue apart from God. Instead of reconciling ourselves first with God, we try to do everything apart from God. We try to make a name for ourselves apart from God. And see, and that's what happened at the Tower of Babel in sacred scripture. Remember the Tower of Babel? We forget that often. What happened at the Tower of Babel? The people came together. They spoke one language, and they came together and they began to build a tower. Why were they building the tower? They said, let us make a name for ourselves. Let us make a name for ourselves. In other words, they're naming themselves. And what they're doing is they're usurping the authority of God. Remember what I said, to name something is to have authority over it. And so to say, let us make a name for ourselves, they are really saying, we are gods. We are making our own name. And God saw that and said, no. No. God came down and scattered the people, giving them many languages. And they scattered throughout the earth. See, when we try to do things apart from God, that's what happens. We create schism. We create a separation within our lives from God and from one another. See, we see that in environmentalism when we're trying in social activism, because that falls into worship. We try to make a name for ourselves instead of converting our hearts. We begin to worship nature instead of worshiping the creator of nature, and that is God. Instead of taking authority over nature through God, but in order to do that, we must establish our relationship once again with God. If we don't, we fall back into paganism, and we see that so clearly in today's society, the fall back into paganism. We see what happened in the Vatican during the Amazon Synod. What transpired, some of you all don't follow the news of the church, but in the Amazon Synod, what they tried to do is they're trying to enculturate the church, which is pure and holy, which has been established by our Lord God. They're enculturating paganism into it, in that Pachamama statue that they did in the Vatican Gardens itself, in which they worshiped the God of nature instead of the true God. They worshiped the God of nature. They bowed down before this statue and they worshiped that. And that's why this past Friday, there was four exorcists which called for a day of fasting and a day of penance in reparation for the sins committed against the Lord God that took place in the Vatican. See, what happens is when we try to do things apart from God, we build a cult of personality. We try to establish ourselves as God. And so we have a cult of personality. And so we can learn from John the Baptist today something very important. Listen to what John the Baptist said, because people thought that he was the Messiah. But John the Baptist said, no, I am not. I am not worthy to untie the straps of his sandals. I am not worthy to carry his sandals, John the Baptist said. He also said, I must decrease and he must increase. I must decrease and he must increase. See, today's society, we have a cult of personality. We usually say, I must increase and he must increase. And how do we do that? We establish ourselves as the law, as the authority over God's authority. We usurp his authority with our own relativism, subjectivism. And see, when we do that, you know, it's especially important priests learn from this. because the priests themselves are called to be in persona Christi capitis, in the person of Jesus Christ the head. They are like John the Baptist. I shall decrease and he shall increase. In other words, we are called to guard the liturgy. We are not called to usurp the liturgy, because our Lord Jesus Christ established the liturgy of the church. Because as we hear from St. Paul, only harmony will come through the worship with, in keeping with Christ. Grant you to think, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to think in harmony with one another, in keeping with Christ, that with one accord, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? One, one, one. And it is through the Holy Roman Catholic Church, the liturgy, that we are united in harmony. There is one voice of praise and worship to God the Father through the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. Is because Christ established the liturgy of the church. And when we try to usurp that liturgy, when we try to make it in our own image, then we go against Christ. Because only harmony can be found in that. The whole world is united in that one language, whereas because God established it, because it gives glory to God. Whereas at the Tower of Babel, man tried to make a name for himself, and therefore God struck them down. And that is what we try to do when we try to enculturate paganism into our religion, when we try to bring about our own cult of personality and bring that in. When priests fail to pray, when priests fail to surrender themselves over to our Lord God, they make the parish in their own image. They make the parish in their own image. They fail to speak the truth because they want to be loved by the people instead of first love God and bring the people to God. We hear what John the Baptist says, "Oh, you brood of vipers, who brought you here? Who brought you here? Why are you here?" You know, John the Baptist, he would be fired from being a pastor in his first day of work. But see, that's what John the Baptist does. He challenges each and every one of us, and he asks us the question, why are we here? Are we here to worship my own cult of personality? Are we here to hear the truth? Do I want the church to conform to me? The church, which is the body of Christ? Or do I want to conform to the church, to God's holy will? And as I said, it is the responsibility of the priest who should be praying, who should be in relationship with God, that guides and directs the people accordingly. But we have seen where priests have failed, where bishops fail, and even where our Holy Father fails in permitting such evil to enter within the church. By thinking and meditating, by thinking that they can establish female deacons, by thinking that they can bring in a female priesthood, by writing a letter which says that we should begin to give communion to those who are divorced and remarried outside of the church, for the usurping of the marriage, by permitting homosexuality, homosexual unions. Because, see, that is not the image of Christ. Marriage is in the image of Christ. For Christ is the bridegroom and the church is his bride, and the marriage should reflect the two and natural creation as God created it, man and woman. But when we try to usurp that authority, we create disharmony. We create schism within the church. And so why are we here? Jesus asked that question to the people. Why did you go out to the desert? What did you go out to the desert to see? Did you go out to the desert to see a reed swayed by the wind? Or a man finely dressed? No, you went out to see a prophet. You went out to see a prophet. Why are we here? What are we preparing for? We come out here to see a prophet, a watchman, as the sacred scripture would say, who calls the people to holiness, who convicts the people, who warns the people of the coming of the King. Prepare the way of the Lord. The priest points to God. He doesn't point to himself. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. We pursue the Lamb." John sent his disciples to the Lamb. He didn't retain the disciples. He pointed to them, to Christ himself, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." John didn't point at himself. A priest who points at himself has failed in his job as a prophet, as a witness, and will mislead the people because he will form the parish in his own image and not in the image of Christ. So as a priest in the image of Christ, as John the Baptist stands, we too are called to convict, call you to holiness, call all to holiness, just like John the Baptist did. And upon that conviction, to lift the burdens of that conviction from your heart and from your soul. Just as the people went out to the desert to see John, to hear John preach, and to prepare their hearts for the Messiah, they too were convicted, and they went down into the Jordan. "What must I do to be saved?" they said to John the Baptist. "What must I do to be saved?" And John the Baptist told them what they must do. He spoke to their hearts. "Be baptized." Baptism of repentance. Isn't that interesting, the baptism of repentance? Because as John convicted the hearts, he gave the baptism of repentance. As a priest is called to convict the hearts of the people, the priest is called to lift the burden of that conviction through the baptism of repentance, the sacrament of reconciliation. So that once again, we can take on as a people the image of Christ, not the image of the world, which seeks to usurp the authority of the one true King, which is Jesus Christ, whom we are preparing for. And so let us humble ourselves today and let us ask ourselves, why am I here? In whose image do I want to be formed?